Hilliard Lyons is proud to become a part of Baird, a trusted financial services firm that shares our commitment to the community. I'm Jeff Main, branch manager with Hilliard Lyons. You can learn more about Baird and our new partnership at HilliardToBaird.com.
Every few weeks we check in at RBB, right. And the superintendent is our great friend, Dr. Jerry Sanders. They are up and running on a hybrid schedule, doing it a little bit differently than the folks at the MCCSE. Well, that's fine. Everybody can do it whatever is most convenient for them. And Dr. Sanders, we thank you for your time here on a new month. Tuesday. It's Tuesday, mm-hmm. Right? September 1st. Good afternoon.
Happy first day of the month.
That's it. Rabbit and all that fun stuff that comes along with it. And you guys have been back in action since Monday the 17th on a hybrid schedule. I think I have my dates here, right?
That's correct.
Captain yep. Kellums keeps me in order because his daughter's at the high school. And what has been the response so far on the hybrid scheduling each week? And for those people who might not understand that, give us a little example of how the week goes at RBB for the primary, middle schoolers, and high schoolers.
Sure. We are, I think, off to a very, very good start. One of my principals even commented recently it's been the smoothest start in her career. And so we're very happy with so far with the hybrid schedule. Basically, with the hybrid schedule, we have one group, and we given that distinction, the blue group, the color of blue, and they come physically to school on Mondays and Tuesdays, and then do e-learning Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And then the orange group will do e-learning on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then physically come to school on Thursday and Friday. And I was, as I walked through the schools during the first week of school, I was really happy that we went with the hybrid schedule, having 50% of our students in school has just helped us so much in terms of finding that balance of being able to provide a quality education at the same time keeping everybody as safe as possible. And it was obvious as I walked around and saw the students and staff social distancing and everybody wearing masks. I was so nervous about the masks. And that's just not been an issue at all. In fact, I've visited the preschool classes last Friday, and preschool was going on as it normally would. Our preschoolers had their masks on. Nobody was pulling them off. Nobody was crying. They were playing and having a good time and learning in the way that preschoolers do. We're working on e-learning now. Because we come to school 2 days a week, students are physically in front of their teachers 2 days a week, it really enhances the e-learning. And then, of course, we have our virtual school students, and I was just talking to one of our virtual school teachers this afternoon and getting a report from her, and she just gave me a really good report. And of course, we would want to do everything possible to eventually get our kids back into school on a full-time basis. That is the ultimate goal. That is why we're doing what we're doing, is to keep kids in school as much as possible.
Dr. Sanders, you've had some experience already with a positive COVID test. How are you handling all of that? What do you say to the parents? What do you say to the kids about sure. How you're going to deal with all this stuff?
Sure. So we have a protocol that we follow. If we get a notification of a student or a staff member testing positive, and so far we've only had two in-school students test positive and one staff member. But we have a protocol that we immediately get in contact with the Monroe County public health nurses. We conduct our contact tracing. So we have worked really hard with our teachers and bus drivers to have assigned seats. So as quickly as possible, we try to identify anyone who is in close contact with the positive case, and then we don't wait on the state to call. As a courteous effort and thinking of our students and parents, we try to call, make those phone calls ourselves, talk to the parents and let them know what's going on. And then I will send out a message to our, once everybody who is a close contact has been notified, then I inform the whole school community that we've had a positive case. And of course, we can't give, for privacy reasons, we can't give much detail, but I try to inform them of what's going on, but also not alarm anybody. That's why I always try to wait until the close contacts have been notified.
And that's got to be tough as well, Dr. Sanders, because we've seen in all walks of life that maybe the first test is one result, the second test is another result. How do you manage all of those situations? Just on a case-by-case basis, I would assume.
Yes. Each of our schools are tracking students who are sent home for symptoms. So if a student is displaying a COVID symptom, then they are sent home, and then we monitor when they could return to school. Conversations are held with parents make sure that, you know, is there an underlying reason for the symptom, and just try to alleviate their fears. And so it's really about a communication, and we could get better at that. I have some ideas that just through the experience that we had yesterday, I have some ideas of how we can better communicate and inform, but y'all also respecting the privacy of everybody involved.
We're speaking with Dr. Jerry Sanders, the superintendent of the Richland Bean Blossom School Corporation. Dr. Sanders, you've gotten a couple of grants, Community Foundation grant and a GEARS grant. What is that about, and what do you do with that money?
Sure. The GEARS grant is really a state a grant opportunity that all schools had the opportunity to write a GEARS grant, and we wrote one to be able to get some Chromebooks and hotspots for our students who might be in need of those tools, not knowing, you just kind of have to prepare when you're dealing with the situation we're in. I was just thinking about this earlier today. You know, last spring we thought we'd be able to start school in a regular way, and now we're starting school in a very different way, and we hope this comes to an end very soon. But you have to prepare that what long term is, and so we want to make sure that we provide our students with the tools that they need to do the virtual school and e-learning at home, and so the GEARS grant, the Community Foundation, just they help us out so much in so many ways, but they were able to give us a grant also to help with Chromebooks, and then we have a RBB Foundation that our teachers have the opportunity to write grants for curriculum or educational supplies or activities that they do in their classroom. But the RBB Foundation stepped up and gave us $10,000 for teachers to be able to purchase digital tools to support their e-learning and virtual school. So, and then there are many other organizations that have stepped up to help. I am just so happy with our school community. They have really everybody's doing their part. And, you know, we at the beginning of the school year, we always have, every school year, you have bugs that you have to work out, and mm-hmm. you have to you find equipment that's not working, or the schedule's not working, and so this year we're doing the same thing, working out those bugs. Only it's not just the bugs that we have at school, but it's those issues that we might have to work out with parents and connectivity and supporting them so that they could be successful.
Dr. Sanders, Friday night, a little earlier than usual, is senior night, and you and your staff, your people, everybody up and down the line, I can't imagine how many people are involved, have had to figure out how to let people come and see a football game safely for everyone involved. Talk a little bit about what you've done and how you've done it.
Sure. So last Friday night was our first home game. And except for the game itself, which didn't end the way we would want it to, the evening went very well in terms of the logistics of being able to have fans in our facility to be able to watch the game. And I just want to just give some kudos to our athletic director, Mick Hammett. We actually had the health department come over, and we talked to them about our plans, and they gave us guidance about, yeah, this will work or that won't work. And we had our fire chief come over and say, well, this is what we want to do to meet the guidance given to us by the health department. And our fire chief was very good at helping us and saying, well, okay, this would be okay. And in the end, we were able to divide our football complex basically into three different areas so that we could have 150 people in each area. And each area had to have its own entrance, had to have its own restroom facilities and its own concessions, and we didn't allow one pocket to pod to interact with the other, in order to get as many people in there, and so we could get we came close to 450, which was basically 150 in each of the sections.
I like it. It makes perfect sense. You have the people that came down from Monrovia to stay with the Monrovia people and don't cross pollinate or contaminate or whatever you want to call it. And
yeah,
You didn't have to cut a hole in the fence or add extra restrooms or anything, correct? It was just a reshifting of the logistical plan.
That's correct. And everybody was wearing masks, and I had some parents coming up to me during the game and thanking me for they didn't have to thank me, but they showed their appreciation that we went to such hard work that they could come watch their kids play football. And it's just so good to see kids here at school, even though it's 50%, you know, you get 50% here and you're
better
happy
than nothing.
About that.
That's right.
But then you want them all back. But you know, we're doing senior nights early just in case, just to make sure that we get those events in. So it's a continual effort to plan and to try to stay ahead of the game here.
Excellent. Did you learn anything on Friday that you're going to recorrect this Friday, or were you pretty pleased and everybody was pretty pleased with how the new normal went?
I think it was overall pretty well. Of course, we had to have our visitor's side has a natural break in between the bleachers. So we did have some a section on the visitor side that were for RBB parents. And we had some RBB parents on that side that were senior parents that maybe it would have been better to have them on the home side. But we were just trying to get everybody there so they could see the game. So I think it went overall very well.
Yeah, the good news is you got plenty of room to move all the chess pieces around on the board outside.
Right.
And, yeah, everything we learned from this, hopefully we can take inside in the wintertime, and hopefully we keep getting fans at the games, and everybody, like you mentioned, continues to wear their masks, say stay socially distanced, and we try to get things going here in 2020. Great job as always, Dr. Sanders. We appreciate your time. Have a great Labor Day weekend, and we'll get caught up with you later this month.
Okay, thank you so much. I always appreciate it.